Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a terrific Sunday. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. I'm a doctor of naturopathic medicine and your host of this program on alternative medicine. Welcome, one and all, to the March 9th, 2003 edition of Wellness in the New Millennium. Thank you for joining me tonight. I'm glad you tuned in tonight's program, into tonight's program, because tonight's program is going to be great. Tonight, we'll hear what one courageous little boy and his family is doing to overcome being labeled with a mental developmental tag, be it autism or ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Tonight, Jolene shares her son's story of overcoming the autistic autism and ADHD label by changing his and the family's diet. Before we start tonight's program, let me tell you about the upcoming topics for the next few weeks. Next week on March 16th, join Dr. Alex Concepcion for more about chiropractic. Tune in to learn how chiropractic can help with those nagging muscle aches and joint pains, as well as other everyday health concerns. Then 2 weeks from tonight on March 23rd, today, acupuncture is mainstream thoughts among Americans for the treatment of pain, injuries, and disease. Join acupuncturist John Weldon from the Institute of Clinical Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine School to learn more about acupuncture, how it works, what diseases or illnesses it works for, if it will work for you, where you can receive affordable treatment, and where you can learn this ancient healing art and earn a degree and license right here in Hawaii. Tune in on March 23rd for Healing with Acupuncture. Then 3 Sundays from today on March 30th, the topic will be about one of the most powerful antioxidants available today, astaxanthin. Research has shown that taking astaxanthin regularly may decrease the risk of developing Alzheimer's disease and age-related macular degeneration, the leading cause of blindness in America. Tune in on March 30th to learn more about this powerful antioxidant and its cousin, spirulina. Again, next week, Dr. Alex Concepcion and more on how chiropractic can help you. Wellness in the New Millennium is brought to you by the leaders in the health, wellness, and alternative medicine industry. Nutrix Hawaii, producers of BioAstin, the natural astaxanthin, and organic spirulina pacifica in powder, crystal flakes, and tablets since 1983. The Pan American MOA Foundation, promoting true health through art and beauty, nature farming, and jure, the medical art from Japan. The Good Health Store, more than just a health store. Enzymatic Therapy, producing innovative quality supplements for your healthcare needs. Dr. Alex Concepcion and the Back to Health Center, serving Hawaii one spine at a time. And the Island Wellness Center, the chronic illness specialist. Please stay with us and we'll talk more about autism and ADHD after we take this very important sponsorship break with our friends from the Pan American MOA Foundation and Enzymatic Therapy.
Dr. Jason Uchida of Island Wellness Center. Dr. Uchida is trained and licensed as a doctor of naturopathic medicine and has been in private practice for the past 14 years. Naturopathic physicians are the only doctors who are medically trained in the use of herbs, vitamins, and minerals. Dr. Uchida is currently a member on the State of Hawaii Board of Examiners in Naturopathic Medicine, and you may direct appropriate letters and phone calls to his office located at 615 Pi'ikoi Street, Suite 1114, Honolulu, Hawaii 96814, or phone 589-1955. You may also email Dr. Uchida at wellness@pdchawaii.com.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida, and you're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, our topic is about the story of a courageous little boy and how he overcame being labeled with a developmental disorder, autism, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. However, before I introduce Jolene and hear her son's story, I wanted to give you a little background on the definition of autism and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. By the way, the medical word for this week is autism, and you're going to hear about the definition right now. Autism is a complex development disability that typically appears during the first 3 years of life, the result of a neurological disorder that affects the functioning of the brain. Autism impacts normal development of the brain in areas of social interaction and communication skills. Children and adults with autism typically have difficulties in verbal and nonverbal communication, social interaction, and leisure or play activities. Autism is one of five disorders under the umbrella of pervasive developmental disorders, or PDD, a category of neurological disorders characterized by severe and pervasive impairment in several areas of development, including social interaction and communication skills. Each of the five PDD disorders have specific diagnostic criteria that we probably won't be getting into because it's going to take too much time. Prevalence of autism is estimated in the United States currently at 1.5 million Americans. However, these numbers are escalating at a rate of 15% per year, and at this rate of growth, autism will affect over 4 million Americans within 6 years. Autism is four times more common in boys, knows no racial, ethnic, or social boundaries, and family incomes, lifestyle, and education levels do not affect the chance of autism's occurrence. Autism is a spectrum disorder. This means the symptoms and characteristics of autism can present themselves in a wide variety of combinations and from mild or be from mild to severe in intensity. People with autism can exhibit any combination of behaviors in any degree of severity. People with autism process and respond to information in unique ways. In some cases, aggression or aggressive and or be self-injurious. Persons with autism may also exhibit some of the following traits: insistence on sameness or routines, resistance to change, difficulty in expressing needs, uses gestures or pointing instead of words, repeating words or phrases, excessive laughing or crying, showing distress not apparent to others, prefers to be alone or aloof, throwing tantrums, and we're talking about tantrums, I guess can be in mild form too, difficulty in mixing with others, may not want to be cuddled, or may not want to have intimate contact with other people, little or no eye contact, unresponsive to normal teaching methods, sustained odd play or behavior, spinning objects or spinning themselves, inappropriate attachment to objects, apparent oversensitivity or undersensitivity to pain, no real fears or dangers, noticeable over physical activity such as being hyper or extreme underactivity, uneven fine or gross motor skills, not responsive to verbal cues, acts as if they're deaf or although the hearing test is normal, delay or total absence of spoken language, difficulty in sustaining conversations. Can't hardly read my handwriting, sorry about that. But a lot of people think of autism when, if you've ever seen that movie with Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman. Remember that, the name of that show? What's the name of that show? Rain Man, that's it, Rain Man. That's an autistic person. I guess that would be like a really over-exaggeration of autism. I wanted to cover attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for you also to give you the definition of that. ADHD is a common condition affecting millions of children in the United States today, resulting in difficulty with attention span and hyperactive impulsive behavior. This causes an impairment of function that may affect academic abilities, behavior, social skills, one's self-esteem, or vocation and occupation later in life. The prevalence of ADHD disorder is about 10% of the American population today. Can you believe that? 1 in 10 have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And I think I was probably put into that category when I was young. How is ADHD diagnosed? The diagnosis is based on the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 4th edition, also known as DSM no, DSM-4 diagnostic criteria. All four of the following criteria must be met for the diagnosis of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder to be established. And there's three basic areas in the way someone may be diagnosed with ADHD. So basically, you need to have 6 of 9 of this inattention category. And the 9 symptoms of inattention are poor attention to detail, makes careless mistakes, difficulty in sustaining attention, doesn't listen when spoken to, doesn't follow through on instruction and fails to finish work, chores, and duties, difficulty in organizing, loses things necessary for tasks and activities, avoids, dislikes, or reluctant to engage in tasks that require sustained mental effort, such as maybe reading this page, easily distracted by extraneous stimulation, forgetful in daily activities. The second aspect or category is hyperactivity. Fidgets with, and the person needs to have 6 or more of these. I should say the next two categories are hyperactivity and impulsivity, and the person needs to have 6 or more of these 9 traits. Fidgets with hands and feet, or squirms in seat, often leaves seat, classroom when sitting is expected, often runs about or climbs excessively in situations where they're inappropriate, difficulty in playing quietly or leisurely, often on the go and hyper, talks excessively. Impulsivity is blurts out answers before question is completed, difficulty in waiting for turn, interrupts and intrudes on others when they are uninvited. So there are 3 basic types of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and they are the ADHD combined type, meaning they have both inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity. And there is the number 2 type is ADHD predominantly inactive type, or predominantly inattentive type. And the 3rd is ADHD predominantly hyperactive impulsive type. So at this time, I'd like to introduce and welcome Jolene onto the program. Jolene, thank you for joining us and sharing Corey's story of overcoming his cognitive and social developmental problems with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Jolene, the last 24 months or so must have been pretty traumatic and a trying road for Corey and the rest of the family. Jolene, about 2 years ago, Corey was tested by a school and diagnosed with borderline autism and ADHD. However, the teacher insisted on a retest, I guess because she felt that Corey did suffer from one or both. No one wants their child labeled autistic or ADHD. However, you told me you felt Corey had a combination of both disorders. Why do you feel that way?
I feel that he had both of, at the time I didn't know that what he had was autistic symptoms. I always suspected that he was hyperactive, mm-hmm. but I learned along the way that his behavior was autistic. And he did things that we thought were cute, like line up his toys, and I didn't realize that that was an autistic symptom. He was very reactive, and we just thought that he was on the immature side.
When you say reactive, what do you mean by that?
Like, he didn't think before he acted. He would just...
Impulsive,
like, if he wanted something, he would just hit or bite his brother. Not
to
hard,
get what he
but
wanted.
Just very, you know, reactive.
Okay.
And he used to be overwhelmed by crowds. Mm. He didn't want to go into these little children, toddler music classes. He would walk in the room and just turn around and he wants to leave. He felt overwhelmed by groups or crowds. I mean, it was only about 20 people in there, but it was overwhelming for him. And he couldn't go into a movie. He didn't like the darkness. He would say it's too dark, it's too loud, and other things would be too bright.
Mm.
Those are, I found out later, are autistic symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to go to school, and he would cry when he had to get out of the car to go to preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher later let me know that he would cry between 13 to 14 times a day.
Wow.
In the classroom.
Okay.
Among also having little temper tantrums when he couldn't get what he wanted.
Oh, really? Okay. I was going to say, not wanting to go to school would be a common trait for any kid. But, yeah, I guess if the child is crying 13 to 14 times at school, that's kind of excessive. Yeah. Other symptoms?
The other thing is the teacher noticed he started preschool three-year-old preschool in September. And by October, I guess it was about 6 weeks later, we had our first parent-teacher conference. And the teacher said that she's, you know, a few things about his behavior concerned her. One thing was that she noticed that he wouldn't make eye contact with her when she spoke with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing was when she would talk with him, she noticed the same thing that I noticed, which was that he would just repeat the last part of the sentence that she asked him.
Uh-huh.
Like I would ask him every day after school, how was school today? And he would say, school today.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, did you have fun? And he would say, have fun. And she noticed the same thing. So when she brought it up, I was taking note of that.
Mm-hmm.
That he did just repeat the last part of the sentence.
Okay.
And he had this look like he didn't really understand what you were asking him.
Uh-huh. Did he also kind of look like he seemed like he was looking through you?
Yeah, he had this glazed look.
Yeah. Okay. Did he have other symptoms that concerned you?
Well, he also had... because he had about 5 ear infections from birth to 1.
Okay.
We thought that was the reason for his delayed speech, because he couldn't hear.
Okay.
So anyway, his delayed speech was, the language delay was a concern for us.
Mm-hmm.
And she did bring up, you know, over the course of the year that he was there, that when there were little things that happened on the playground and they asked him what happened, like if he got hurt or if he was crying, she said that he was unable to verbalize what happened to him.
Mm, to explain what happened.
Right.
Okay.
So, you know, we just thought that that's his delayed speech.
Mm-hmm.
But
did his delayed speech or development in communication, what other aspects did it affect him or did you notice in him that showed that maybe he was delayed in his communication development?
Well, he besides not...
Could he say sentences?
No, he didn't. Actually, he didn't really speak in complete sentences.
Right.
He would just say a few words.
Okay. How about resistance to new situation is a common trait with autistic kids?
Yep, he definitely had that.
Okay. And... being irritable or having bad temper?
Right. Because one thing that would set him off is if there was a change in routine. And the teacher also brought that up too. If he sat next to a certain child or next to the teacher one day, then he would expect the next day
to be sitting there
again.
In the
same order. And if he wasn't, then that would set him off.
Okay. Was there any inappropriate behavior that you or the teachers noticed?
Almost all of it, I think they felt was inappropriate.
Really?
Stop crying.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And then also, when they had circle time, there were a few times where he would just stand up, and she said that he would just start, you know, stick his arms out and start spinning.
Okay. Yeah, I mentioned that on one of the traits, being autistic. Okay. But you know, you could also look at just being a carefree kid, too. But I guess with all the other symptoms put together, that was concerning not only for the teachers but also for you and your husband.
Right. He just was so sensitive.
Uh huh. Okay. When you say he was just so sensitive, what do you mean by that?
It seemed emotionally. I mean, because you couldn't change the routine or you know the order of something, or if it wasn't his idea. I mean, it just seemed like.
If
he just set him off, he would go into a tantrum where he would start crying.
So it was a struggle, I guess, with him.
Right.
Okay. Why did you choose natural medicine to help your son overcome his developmental problems?
Well, I always believe in natural medicine. I mean, I believe in, you know, seeing our medical doctor mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. But I just know that his pediatrician couldn't do anything for him. Because when I knew that he had candida, I knew that that was causing his developmental problems.
Okay.
I spoke to his pediatrician, and his pediatrician said he doesn't have candida. He can't possibly have it.
Okay.
Because he hasn't taken antibiotics for 1 year.
Okay. So that's a magic number for his pediatrician.
I guess he just believed that you can only get candida if you just took antibiotics prior to getting thrush.
Okay. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But medical treatment for autism is basically there's no medical treatment.
Right.
There's only training, one-on-one type training for the child. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, they use Ritalin. There's also a new drug right now that they're using. I can't remember the name offhand. I believe it starts with an S. But so the options aren't really good, right? So I guess that's why you folks were interested in using natural medicine.
Well, I would never consider any of those drugs anyway because they have side effects.
Yeah. So, Jolene, during your first visit with me and after going over Corey's past medical history and symptoms, what condition did I tell you was causing the cognitive and behavioral disorder, which you mentioned already?
Systemic candida.
Infections. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Jolene, do you recall what events in Corin's young life I said was responsible for creating the fungal infection?
Well, definitely it was five to six rounds of antibiotics that he had for ear infections in his first year of life. I mean, I think he was under 2 months old when he got his first round of antibiotics.
Okay. You also mentioned to me that during birth, I believe, you had to take antibiotics.
Right.
Because of your health problem.
And I think I also might have taken antibiotics for a dental visit.
When you were pregnant.
Right, when I was pregnant.
With Corey. So you had antibiotics during labor, was it?
Yes.
Oh, during labor, okay.
They start putting in an intravenous.
Okay. And also, Corey was born with an eye infection.
Right.
And he received antibiotics at that time?
Yes.
Okay. So Corey had a lot of antibiotics in the first year of life. When did you start noticing these mental, emotional, developmental problems occurring?
Probably between 12 and 24 months.
12 and 24 months.
So
the first year of life. Okay.
Well, when his speech was supposed to be developing at a faster rate than it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you tell the audience what type of treatment I put Corey on?
One was a homeopathic supplement to kill the fungus, candida infection. Another to boost his immune system. We also gave him digestive enzymes.
To help him digest the food that he was eating.
Right.
Okay.
And the most important one is the change in his diet.
Right. We'll talk about that in a second, but I also gave him some things to kill the fungus, too.
Right. Candymycin.
Yeah, that children's candymycin. Okay. So would you tell the audience about the diet?
Well,
they've heard it before, but go over it again.
The diet that you prescribed for him was a sugar-free, carbohydrate-free diet. Also, no chicken, no beef, no pork. And also treating food allergies at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And the food allergies very quickly, or the foods that we eliminated from Corey's diet was dairy products, wheat, corn, soy, tomatoes, eggplants, bell peppers, potatoes, mushrooms, peanuts, cashews, pistachios, macadamia nuts, coffee and alcohol, and vinegar. And juices because of the sugar. So all the sugar type foods, let's go over them real quickly for the audience so they know about the diet. So it's basically all the sugars you're thinking right now, the cookies, cakes, pies, pastries, ice cream, candy, chocolate was out, as well as all pasta and bread, juice and soda, white rice, vinegar, alcohol, fruit and dried fruit. The only fruit, papaya. So in avocado. A lot of people are thinking, man, the diet is tough for an adult to go on. How were you able to manage your three-year-old to be on this diet?
I just put him on it. I mean, I don't know how else to...
You had no say.
I mean, he was crying for juice. I mean, because his diet was juice, candy, chips, you know, white rice and noodles.
Before going on this anti-candida diet. Right. You know, the interesting thing is that I treat actually 7 autistic kids right now, and all their diets are the same. Juice, chips, candies, kaki mochi, you know, white rice. They all favor a lot of sugar-type foods. How did Carter react to the changes in the diet?
Well, the first week or so was the hardest when he would just cry. I mean, he already had the tantrums.
Yeah.
So he would just be flinging his body on the floor. He wants the cookies or he wants everything that he used to have, and I just had to say no.
So he was just hurting himself to try to get the food
right,
that
but he was just crying and having his little tantrum. But I just let him have his tantrum.
I mean, that must have been hard for you.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing your son just going bonkers, and you were strong. You said no.
Well, I told him you have bugs. I just told him you have bugs in your stomach,
uh-huh.
and they're going to grow if you eat the sugar, if you eat these things that you like.
Okay.
So we have to eliminate these things, and your stomach will get better.
So you did explain it to him again.
I don't know if he understood,
right,
because he had that glazed look, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. And that's the same for me, because I did try to explain it to him. I always try to explain what I want my patients to do, even though they're 2 or 3 years old, or even, you know, 12, 14, because I think they do understand to some degree why we're making the changes, and hopefully they can understand it. So in the middle of all this, what did your husband think of this whole business of treating Corey's cognitive and developmental problems with a dietary change in natural medicine?
Well, I think he didn't know what to think. He totally didn't know what to think, but he knew that he wants to help him, and if this is what I believe is going to help him, he was behind me.
Oh, really? Very good. So he gave you a lot of support.
He did.
Very good. And you almost have to have it, because the child will try to find other ways to eat sugar otherwise, right? They'll go to the weak link, which might be your husband, might be the grandparent.
Right.
Okay. So that's a tough diet to go on. When did you start to realize the Candida treatment program was beginning to work?
I think it was less than 2 months.
Less than 2 months?
It was less than 2 months. Although during that time, his teacher started saying, I thought he was getting better, but his teacher said he was getting worse at school.
That's cool.
But I saw, from what I saw at home, he was getting better.
In what way was he getting better at home? Do you recall?
He just looked more alert.
Mm. And he looked like he was there.
And he was a little more cooperative.
Mm. Okay.
And not as hard to handle.
Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't so such a struggle.
Right.
As much of a struggle anyway with him.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I realized that Corey was getting better at about 2 months, because I remember one day he came bursting through my office doors, and in a controlled way, though, you know, not the hyperactive type person who's just going to be running around the whole office. And he ran right up to me, and he looked me right in the eye, and he said, "Hi, Dr. Uchida." And he never talked to me before. I don't know if you remember how Karin was. I'll explain it later. But he said, "Hi, Dr. Uchida. I learned a new game at school today." And before, he never said a word to me. He ignored me the whole time he was at the office before. And when I spoke to him, he was like doing other things, and he never looked at me in the eye. And he was either exhausted, I remember you were either carrying him in, or he was just all over the office touching anything and everything. But since that day, he was always right there with me. He would talk to me. He had no problems talking to me now. Before, he was either too shy or he just ignored me. But I knew at that point that he was getting better. Yeah. Jolene, would you share with us the social, behavioral, and emotional, and developmental changes that have happened for Corin in the past 15 months?
Well, he's definitely less hyper.
Mm.
And when he does little projects and things like that, he's more focused. I mean, he can build these amazing Lego spaceships and things like that.
Ah.
And he looks, you know, he looks me in the eye when he speaks, and his speaking has improved so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even, in 1 year, just 1 year.
Yeah, we saw an amazing improvement in him in that first year. Yeah, he was just moving along in his speech development, his communication skills.
And he seems to me to be developing at a normal, I mean, at a, you know, a pretty normal rate now as far as his ages with other children his age, as far as learning his ABCs, recognizing letters, he can write his name.
Okay, he's, how old is he now?
He's four and a half.
Four and a half now, okay. How about the temper tantrums and the crying fits that he gave before?
Oh, so much better.
Yeah.
And I can reason with him now.
Yeah. Before you couldn't reason.
I could not reason with him at all.
He would just...
He just didn't hear you.
Oh, yeah? Okay. How about his fatigue?
Oh, he doesn't have that glazed look or...
Exhaustion that he had before.
No.
And he's not as hyper as he was before.
No, and he's way more cooperative.
Okay. Does he actually, like, speak with people now? And
oh, he's the most friendly child.
No.
He talks with any adult that he sees on the street, I mean, at the supermarket. He'll ask the parent, what's his name, of, you know, for the child?
Uh-huh.
And he just makes friends with anybody, plays at the park.
That's
he
amazing.
Has no problem. I mean, he's just the most friendliest, sociable child.
Is that amazing to you? Because before he was, like, very shy. And
right, and he would hide behind me, and he didn't want to get into a classroom with other children. But it's actually only about, he must have been on the diet about 6 months. And he, after 6 months, or it might have even been a little less, he blended in nicely
with,
in a classroom.
With the rest of the kids.
Right.
Ah. So you must have been very pleased with improvements that you were seeing within the first 6 months or so.
I'm very relieved.
Why relieved?
Because I always felt that he's like a smart child.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I could tell that he was intelligent, but his behavior, it's like the self-control and the maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
The not being able to have the self-control that I was really worried about.
You also mentioned to me that when you changed, because Corey did change schools about less than a year ago, and you mentioned that the new teacher and new school was very surprised that he was labeled with having a cognitive developmental problem. Why was that, and how did the new teacher and school see him now?
Well, they didn't. They had notes from the previous teacher,
right.
And he did finish out the school year, the preschool 3 school year at that first school that he cried at and he didn't want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But just before he left, his 13 to 14 crying fits a day turned into 1 to 3.
Okay.
So from, I guess, November to May, he had decreased that and improved.
Yeah.
And so when he transferred to the new school, and like I said, he just blended in very nicely, they did not see any of the behaviors that the previous school was concerned about.
Okay. How about the, I hate to use the word strange, but the inappropriate behavior, you said he would stand up and spin around spin
in
around.
Several times.
Yeah. Did those behaviors disappear also?
Yes.
Okay. So much for being that free spirit. But Corey is. He's a really likable child. You can just see it in his eyes when he just talks to you and he tries to share what's going on with him. Jolene, you also mentioned that your husband got very emotional about Corin once. Why was that?
Are you talking about the time that the school...
said that he was normal.
Right. Well, I know it's because he is the same thing with myself, that he knew that he's the child inside was a really special and smart child, but it was just his candida infection, you know,
just
that was clouding his, it's almost like it fogged his brain up.
Yeah.
You know,
and didn't allow his true self to come
right,
out.
Right. Yeah. And so once, you know, he went through the diet and he was very, I have to say, He never wavered off the diet, and he took all his supplements. And so from November to May, it was night and day. And when the teachers told us that they don't see any of the behaviors that his previous teacher was really concerned about, mm-hmm. I mean, they had wanted to test him for a special education preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't feel that was appropriate for him. And so when we didn't go that route and we decided to send him to this other preschool, and they confirmed what we had already felt, that he had dramatically improved.
Yeah.
My husband just felt so relieved that yeah. what he always knew was true.
Yeah, that his
son... There was
son,
nothing wrong with him.
Right. My son was normal.
Right.
One of the things that I didn't talk about in the definition of autism is that there is usually some mental retardation, whether it's mild to severe. So that's always a concern if somebody is labeled with autism, that there is some mental retardation or disability. And I think you had mentioned that your husband said, I knew my son wasn't.
Right. Well, that's always a question in your mind.
Yeah.
If a teacher is telling you that, you know, your child is doing all of these things,
yeah.
this is what we're... I mean, they don't say it, but you know that's what
they're
suspecting.
Implying. Yeah. Very good. I'm glad everything turned out really well.
Yeah.
So, I guess your husband wasn't against natural medicine, but what's his opinion on natural medicine and maybe even dietary changes today?
Oh, he's 110% for it. I mean, he definitely knows that the systemic candida infection is what is the root cause of so many illnesses.
I guess he's seen it for himself with Cory's diet.
Right.
And I want to talk more about... Welcome back. I'm Dr. Jason Uchida. You're listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, our topic is about one little boy's courageous story of treating himself for autism and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder with a simple but strict dietary change. We have his mother, Jolene, joining us to tell his story. Jolene, so this diet is tough. I mean, you know, what we talked about on the radio, a lot of people are thinking, oh my God, you know, that's torture for anyone, much less a child. How does Cory see his diet now?
Well, he just thinks of it as his way of life.
That's his way of life.
Because he's just been on it since he can really, you know, remember, because he started it when he was 3.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably about as far back as
right,
he can remember.
Right.
So it's like this is what he eats.
Right.
But he must see other kids eating other stuff, you know, like cookies and candy and pie and that kind of stuff. How does he react to that? What does he say or what does he do?
Well, if somebody gives him some candy, like a goodie bag, he says he wants to give it away to his cousins or to the childhood, our little neighbors.
Mm.
And so he doesn't expect to eat it for himself. If he does think that he might possibly be able to eat it, then he'll just ask, can I eat this? And I'll say, no, we don't eat that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, can I give it to the cousins? And I'll say, okay. So he just will give it away. But at school, all the children eat family style.
Okay.
And he has his own home lunch.
Oh, okay.
But there are some things that he does eat now, but he, for a long time, he didn't eat anything that they ate.
Right. Because Cory was started, I guess, about 15 months ago, right?
Right.
So how long did we keep Cory away from cookies, cakes, pies, pastries, that kind of stuff?
I guess it's about a year.
1 year.
Yeah, it's about a year.
Yeah, he's a tough guy. It's amazing to stay away from sugar for a whole year. What does he eat now? You said he changed his diet a little bit.
Well, I started letting him eat some bananas and some apples, and so he's really happy about that.
Yeah.
But he still doesn't have any candy.
Okay.
And maybe in the last 15 months, he might have had like one cookie,
really?
One or two cookies. I mean, I don't even think so, but he had some birthday cake.
He's my idol. Man. So, Jolene, what other interesting improvements in Cory's health did you notice during this past 15 months?
Well, it's really funny for a little kid, but he used to have really bad athlete's foot.
Okay. And when you say bad, what do you mean?
Well, it's because he used to wear his covered shoes with no socks.
Okay.
I mean, it used to smell like an adult's athlete's foot.
Smelled really bad.
Yeah.
Hauna.
Okay. But the interesting thing that happened to him, and I don't remember how long he was on the diet, it could have been something like 6 months. his feet and his hands started to peel.
The skin.
Mm-hmm. And at first I thought it was sunburn because the skin on his feet actually turned black.
Mm.
And then it peeled off, but it wasn't sunburn because the inner part of his hands, the palms and fingers, started to peel too
off
at the same time.
Yeah. So his body was getting rid of the fungus.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. He also had blisters on his tongue when he was before the age of one. He had them several times.
Right.
What happened to that?
He doesn't have that or the white-coated tongue.
Anymore. The thrush. Okay, yeah, he used to have thrush off and on for the first couple years, basically, of his life. He also used to have eye infections periodically, and that disappeared too.
That disappeared.
He also used to suffer from chronic ear infections.
Right, that's gone too.
Never had them since either, okay, because he was on such a strict diet. Tough kid. And he used to always wake up at night. How's his sleep now?
He sleeps very well now.
Yeah, right through.
Right through.
Is he like a dead sleeper or, you know, like nothing will wake him up or?
Yeah, it's like that. Nothing will wake him up.
He sleeps well.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, you and Corey have personally led, I shouldn't say personally, but through other patients who have come to see me through other patients who you may have talked with. You've been involved in helping five other families with autistic kids seek my help. Of the children that you know about, what type of improvements have they seen with treating their kids for a systemic candida infection? Do you know of any?
Well, what one of your other patients has told me, her son is more, he engages more with other children, whereas he used to just play alone and not even be interested in other children. And his language development started to come along, and he just seems more engaged.
Yeah. His speech becoming more complex, not just the one, two word answers or questions. Yeah. But really big improvements in these children for just changing their diet and treating the fungus. Would you give us an update of how Corey is doing in his life right now? What's going on in his life? Exciting
thing. Well, he's one thing is he's playing Little League Baseball.
How's he liking that?
He loves it.
Does he like run around and is a maniac, or does the coaches have some control over him?
Oh no, he's just totally looks normal out there. You know, normal.
He doesn't look out of place.
No, not at all.
Very
not at
good.
All.
You also mentioned a few things that he's that the family is helping him move through. He's tested for special schools.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, he tested for some private schools, and he went into the group interviews. You know, fine. I don't know what happened in his individual interviews, but he went in fine, and he came out happy. And one of them offered him cookies and juice after. You know, his individual interview, and he declined it. He says, no, I don't eat that.
Isn't that amazing? Man, what a trooper. So you didn't have to, like, drag him to the interview?
No,
like,
he just went in nicely. He took the lady's hand, and he just went in the room.
And he came out?
And he came out happy, and he said, Mommy, they tried to give me a cookie. I said, no, it has sugar.
Great story. Because of your family's personal experience, what do you think about naturopathic medicine and systemic candida infections now?
Well, I think that definitely systemic candida infections is like an epidemic. And it's just the cause of so many illnesses that people just don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that the naturopathic way is the only way to, you know, get your body back into optimum health from the inside out, not with band-aids and side effects and compounded, you know, specialists and things like that. It's just getting your digestive system healthy is your whole immune system.
Well said. That's exactly true. You know, your digestive tract is the most important aspect of one's body, and that's going to dictate if you're either healthy or not. And I think the listening audience, if they tune into to my radio program week after week, they see multiple different types of illnesses come on, and they're diagnosed with the same problem, systemic candida infections. We treat them the exact same way we treated Corey, and they all got well. just like Corey is right now. If there was a family with a child with ADHD or autism and were seeking alternatives to medications, what would you want to tell them?
By all means, to seek out naturopathic medicine. I mean, they don't have to go through life with this thing hanging on their head and being labeled, because it's not their fault. However they got it, if it was through antibiotics or immunizations or through their mother's antibiotics that they took when they were pregnant, but that they just don't have to live that way.